I want to speak to you this morning on transitional shifts. I think from us being in this season of lockdown, the season of COVID has been such a major transition. And I really believe that God has held off the removal of COVID until or so that we can grasp that we're moving into something new, that we've been in like this hallway where you can't access any rooms, really. It's like he's got you in this hallway where you're held, held captive almost. And all of a sudden, we are going to be able to open doors again. We're going to be able to have freedom. And I really feel today the Lord is saying to us, you know, set your face so that when freedom comes, you stay immovable. So that when freedom comes, that your post doesn't shake again. You know, there's been such a shaking that's gone on in the church over the last year. People have lost their faith because of it. People have really struggled. And yet this is a time, a season when it really, what it is doing is uncovering what is inside of us. It's uncovering the depth of our post in God and how steadfast we are in the Lord. So I just want to bring up, I just want to do like a bit of a PowerPoint this morning that goes along with what I'm saying this morning. So transition, what does transition look like? What does it mean to be in transition? Transition is to make or undergo, a transition is to move from one state or system to another, from one state or system to another. It's the act of passing from one state or place to another. Transition is a passageway or change that leads to transformation. So when a transition happens, it causes a transformation in our lives. So it's like many of us already have already made that transition to from darkness into light. We've made the transition from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of salvation, the kingdom of our God and King. So we've already made transitions from that has led to transformation through our salvation. We're completely different people now from what we were a year ago, 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 20 years ago, for some of us way longer than that as well. So we want our transitioning to bring transformation that leads to reformation. So we want to see a reform in our family, in our town, in our city, in our nation, globally. And we see these reformations that are happening at the moment that aren't godly, and we want to see the kingdom of God come so that the reformation that we see coming is a coming of the reformation of the Holy Spirit, a reformation of revival, the reformation of the kingdom throughout the earth. So Thomas Jefferson says, I like the dreams of the future better than the history of the past. I like the dreams of the future better than the history of the past. And I think for me, I know the visions and the dreams that God has given me for the future, for now and for the future, that I want to have learned from the past how to take what I've learned into the future. So I like the dreams of the future better than those of the past. There's an unprecedented wave of revival on the horizon that will forever change the spiritual landscape of Christianity. And I really do believe that COVID is part of that wave that is going to change the spiritual landscape of the church. I believe that we have been challenged individually, corporately, globally as a church, how we operate, how God in this season has brought in new ways of communicating, like Zoom, like us here, you know, where we can't all be in one room, but actually we're in one room seated in the heavenlies, having our fellowship together and our gathering together. This is a reform of what God has done through COVID for the church. It's one of the changes that has happened. You can't stop the waves that are coming, but you can learn to surf. You can learn to surf. There is a revival coming that we need to partner with the Lord and join with him in that partnership, in this revival that is coming, this outpouring of the Spirit that is coming. We are caught in the tension of honoring yesterday's move of God in revival's past, yet reaching out and preparing for what is yet to come, for it will surely come. When we think about the revivals of the past and the thousands that have got saved and people falling in the streets, people like literally knocking on people's doors at night saying, what can I do to get saved? I remember back in Ireland, we had months and months of people knocking on our door at all hours of the night saying, hey, so-and-so's just got saved. Can you baptize them in the Holy Spirit? Or I want to get saved. What do I do? And that was such a sweet season because the Spirit of God was poured out. We didn't have to actually do anything. God was just working and we were just reaping the harvest because we were partnering with him. So we look back at those times and it gives us a hunger for what is to come, because we know we've tasted and we've seen and we've heard the stories, and we've heard the stories of Azusa and legs growing out from that have been cut off and arms regrowing. And we long for those days of revival where we see these things that are coming. So we believe that God is asking us to build a spiritual house that will accommodate the coming outpouring. What does this look like, do you think? What does it look like? There are shifts and changes necessary to transition into the new era, to create a new wineskin for a new wine. Used to be we would go out, we would do the evangelism the same way. And actually, you know, over the last while, we have been people that have just chucked the worms over and said, you know what, it's not working anymore. But it's not that the fish aren't still hungry. It's just there hasn't been a season of harvest. So the fish are still there, they're still hungry, but it's time that we took a different way. How do we know we're fishing from the wrong side of the boat? Well, that's easy, because we're not catching anything. We're not catching anything, or we're catching very little. We want to be the ones that have the harvest of fish that are coming in. In John 21, 5 and 6, Jesus said, children, have you any food? And they answered him, no. And he said to them, cast your net on the right side of the boat and you will find some. So they cast, and now they were not able to draw it in because of the multitude of fish. Cast the net on the right side of the boat. Where are we seated with Christ? We're seated on his right side. We're seated beside him on the right side. And it's this partnership with the Lord that will bring in, as we listen to him and say, okay, God, where do you want us to cast? What is the net to look like? What is the strategy for this new season? Our past success cannot compensate for our lack of preparation for today. Our past success cannot compensate for our lack of preparation for today. So in COVID, we've seen, I don't know about you, but we've seen the cafes and the restaurants all getting like a facelift. They've all been doing up their premises, new tables and chairs, new paintwork, and they're ready to come out of this transition with a whole new look. And that is in the natural realm, people. That is in the natural realm. So what does it look like for us, the church, to come out of transition? What is the look? What is the paint job? What are the things that God wants to change in us that makes us ready for this new season that we are coming into? We're standing on the threshold of a great transition. I so believe it. I so believe it. Are we ready? Are we making the necessary changes? I just so believe that we are literally on the crest of a wave that is about to crash on the earth. I believe that the Holy Spirit is like the momentum of the Spirit has been building up. The fire of the Spirit is being blown upon the embers. The fire is hot and it is just ready to be poured out again on the earth. And Jesus said, hey, don't be afraid. I'm going to make you fishers of men. You ain't going to catch little fish anymore. You're going to catch men in these nets. You're going to catch men in these nets. You know, Peter represents many believers who are fishing from the wrong side of the boat. He's typical of people who are dangerously committed to past success, or those who are just too weary to make the necessary adjustments of change. And I know that, you know, this season has been a season where I think we have got tired. We've got tired of doing nothing. We've got tired of just sitting around. And yet it's been a season of preparation, of seeking new ways with the Lord, of engaging personally, more intimately with the Lord. As we haven't been able to gather intimately together, so I think people have this fresh hunger for the Lord has been being poured out upon people to create this steadfast set pillars in preparation. So let us not be those ones that look back and go back to the old ways. Let's just see, we can learn from it, but let's see what God wants us to do in this new season. We need to recognize how much a shift in direction will impact our future. And I think as the church learns to partner with the Holy Spirit in what this reset is looking like, what this new era is going to look like, it will impact the people around us. It will impact our families. It will impact our communities, our towns, and our nation, and globally. Because this has been like this global lockdown. It hasn't been one country or this country or that country. It has been globally. God has put his thumb on the earth over the last year. And he's like, I'm trying to get your attention. I'm trying to get your attention. Are you listening to me? Are you going to set your face toward me and listen? So let's look at Peter's past. What was he like? Matthew 14, 29. We all know that he stepped out of the boat. Oh, my days. If we were in that boat, you know, and there was a storm blasting all around and you saw this geezer coming walking towards you on the water, you'd be like, woo. And then he says, hey, come and join me. Literally, I'd be grabbing the mast and saying, you're having a laugh, mate. You're having a laugh. You come in here. Why should we go out there? It's wet, it's windy, and it's dangerous. But he was a risk taker. And because of his obedience, he literally defied the laws of gravity with God. He defied the laws of gravity. And in this season, I believe that this season is going to be a season of incredible encounter with God, where we defy the laws of gravity, where we're going to have encounters that take us to heavenly places, encounters that possibly take us to different nations in the spirit, that take us to different situations in the spirit. I just believe that this is a season where spiritual portals are opening wide. As we come out of lockdown, God says, we're going to break out. We're not just going to walk out. We're going to break out. There's going to be a breaking out of the church in this season where the portals of heaven are open. The stairways have been lowered. The angels are ascending and descending, and they're calling us to the mountain of the Lord to ascend with the angels and to descend, to hear what is being said in the heavenlies, like Jacob, so that we can partner with the Lord in this season. Like Isaiah, who listened to the conversation of heaven and he said, I will go for you because I've heard your voice. I will go for you. I will do what you want me to do. Let us be those ones like Peter that partner with God in times of storms, in times of trial, in seemingly impossibilities. Let us be ones that step out of that boat, taking his hand and defying the gravity of what seems to be happening around us. Living outside of our comfort zone. We don't like being uncomfortable, do we? We Westerners like to be comfortable, you know. We like to have a cup of tea at the right time with biscuits. We have so much Western habits that when we move slightly out of our comfort zone, it seems like such a big shift to us. And yet our destiny is waiting outside of that. Our destiny is waiting outside of that. So you want to walk on the water? Get yourself out of the boat. If you want to walk on the water, get yourself out of the boat. Faith is spelt risk. risk. To live for Jesus means to live a life of risk, a life of faith, a life of change. We can't afford to live for now, but must position ourselves for future play. This season has been a season of preparation, a season where God has closed us in so that we can break out, a season where he's been speaking to us in the intimate places so that we are filled, ready to go out into a world that has been faced with its mortality for the first time in a long time. Since the war, our global people, our global family has been faced with its mortality for the first time really since the war. And we have an answer to their fear. We have an answer to their concern. And that answer is Jesus. When we position ourselves for the tomorrow, then we will be ready and tomorrow's opportunity will become your reality. When you position yourself for tomorrow, you will be ready and tomorrow's opportunity will become today's reality for you. We need to learn to skate fishing, you know, skate where the Holy Spirit is going. Change is here, guys. It's here to stay. It's here to stay. It's not going to go away. It's not going to go away. You know, we can either answer the call or we can hide in a closet labeled familiar. We can either step out with the Lord today or we can stay in what has been and what has been comfortable. But God is preparing new wineskins for a wine that has never been poured before. He's preparing new wineskins for wine that he has been pressing down in this season of lockdown. The Lord has been forming a rich wine inside of our lives, a beautiful, rich, rich wine that is ready to be poured out for the earth today. Albert Einstein said, insanity is doing the same thing over and over again, expecting different results. So true. The church as it has been over the last whatever has been doing the same thing week in, week out, week in, week out. And here we are on the brink of a new wave. And we need to get ready for that. We need to be ready. Mark chapter 2, verse 21-22 says, no one sews a patch of unshrunk cloth on an old garment. Otherwise, the new piece will pull away from the old, making the tear worse. No one pours new wine into old wineskins. Otherwise, the wine will burst the skins and both the wine and the wineskins will be ruined. No, they pour new wine into new wineskins. I remember someone saying to me once about the old sofa. You know, you get these old sofas and they're sofas that you've had for years and years and they're like your comfy sofas. You know, all the little grooves are in them where you've sat and you've made your mark. You know, it's like bedding down in those sofas. And then that sofa gets a tear and you're like devastated. It's like, oh, I've had this sofa for so long. You know, it's been in my family for generations and now it's torn. And what this wineskin analogy is speaking like, it's like going and getting a new sofa, brand new sofa, and cutting out a whole patch out of that new sofa and stitching it on to the hole in the old sofa. And you are trying to fix something old at the expense of something new that is going to last for a long, long time. So for us, when you look at the process of wine, when wine is put into the new wineskins, even though they're prepared, the fermentation process allows that wineskin to expand with the wine. If we try to put that wine into old wineskins, they're already stretched. They've already done their job. They're not ready for this new season. So we want to be the new wineskins that God is ready to pour this beautiful, fresh wine into. Skins that are fresh, skins that are new. The gospel of the kingdom which Jesus brings cannot be fitted into a Pharisee paradigm or way of living. Is a good statement. The gospel of the kingdom which Jesus brings cannot be fitted into the Pharisee's paradigm or way of living, for by a mongrel mixture of ascetic ritualism of the old with the spiritual freedom of the new economy, both are disfigured and destroyed, like the sofa. Both are disfigured and destroyed. When Jesus came, he established a new covenant. He was the fulfillment of the law. He established something new. And even now in this COVID season, he says, behold, I'm doing a new thing. Can you see it? Can you behold it? Are you ready to partner with it? God likes to stir our nest of comfortable dreams, prepare us for the next stage of our flight. When an eagle is trying to get its little chicks to fly, he starts to mess up the nest. He starts to remove the branches and the feathers, and he makes it really uncomfortable. And in the end up, the eagle, the mother or father eagle, they chuck these chicks out. They throw them out in order that they would fly. And they fly under them to catch them. And they bring them back up and they throw them out again. And I feel like that is what God is doing. He's had us in this comfortable nest, and he's stirring our nest, getting us ready for the next phase of our flight. The captain always knows where we're going. As a son and daughter of God, you're empowered as agents of change in your personal lives, in your community, in the heavenlies that surround you. What are the transitions that we're going through at the moment? I believe that we're transitioning from having an ideology of church and what church should be like to having a kingdom mindset. So going from having a church mindset to a kingdom mindset. Romans 14:7 says, the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. I believe that we're going from pastor-led churches, which is not biblical, pastor-led churches to apostolic churches. Bible says that the church is built on the foundations of the apostles and prophets. Not that pastors are not important, because they really, really are. They're part of the fivefold ministry. But I believe that we have entered into an apostolic movement, and that that apostolic movement is going to grow as the kingdom expands. Again, I believe that we as the church globally will be moving from denominationism, even though we're different and we have different paradigms, that I believe that it's going to be much more apostolic in its formation. It's going to be gathered around relationship instead of agreement. So like denominations, you have agreement. This is what we believe, and we'll stay here together. Whereas the apostolic is gathered around relationship. So I know the movement that we're part of and the different churches and leaderships that we are networked with have all different types of churches, but we come together in relationship and the foundation of Jesus. I believe that we're moving from an era of control in the church to a season of freedom. You can't train a man to be free in a prison. You've got to give them freedom and train them, teach them how to walk in freedom. I believe that we're going from big churches, not that big churches are wrong, I think we need them as well as little ones, all the different sizes. But we want to see big people built. We want to see the focus being on raising up big people instead of big buildings. I believe that we're moving into the transition, and have been, of the priesthood of all believers, where the church is not so much going to be about the man at the front having all the answers, but actually that the people, the church themselves, are beginning to realize that they are a priesthood, that they have authority, that you have authority as the priests of God, as ones that have authority to govern, as ones that are ambassadors of Christ, that ones that carry the authority to bring reformation in your area. I believe that we're going from a mindset of going to heaven to bring heaven to earth. We're going from this mindset that I grew up with of that we are going to heaven, but actually that we're going to bring heaven to earth, that our job is going to look like that. Old ways won't open new doors. Old ways won't open new doors. We're coming out through a doorway from COVID. This is a new doorway. We have never been down this doorway before as a nation, coming out of something so severe. And I believe that the natural reflects the spiritual. And I believe that this is a season where we as the church are coming out through a new doorway. We need an awareness of both the time and the season that we're living in, and a clear vision of where we're going forward. Like, what is God saying to you personally? What is your vision as you come out of COVID over the next weeks? What is your vision? What is the thing that God has said to you? This is what I'm calling you to do. This is your part right now. This is where, in your community, where I'm calling you to bring my kingdom. You are power-filled. And again, there's a fire waiting for you. I so believe that this is a season of the new fire, a season of being baptized again in the Holy Ghost, filled again with the Holy Ghost, outpoured again of the Holy Ghost within us. So why do we need transition? Why? It's all about the wine, guys. It's all about the wine. What does the wine look like? It's all about the presence of God. It's about his presence. It's about revival. Everything that we do has to come from that place of presence leading to revival. Whether it's our gathering here on Zoom, meeting up in coffee shops, which is going to be amazing. We can sit inside, you know, whether we're doing our home fellowships or social events. It's all about the presence of God. This wine is all about the presence and revival. It's about renewal, the gospel of salvation. It's again about this pouring out of Isaiah 61, the Spirit of the Lord is upon us to preach good news, to open the eyes of the blind, to let the captives free, to release from prison those who are bound, to see the lame walk, the deaf hear. Oh my gosh, come on. To see our family members come to Christ, to see our community transformed. This is a season of kingdom. It's a season of something new, a fresh garden being planted through the church. Where is it going to be worked out? It's going to be worked out in our culture, the culture that we're born into. Where you live is your culture. It's your metron of influence. It's where you get to transform your community, your family, by what God is doing in you, by setting your face as that pillar to seek him. Yeah, let's go forward. It's a place where time with God is a place of priority. And I believe that over the last months that we have really been honing in on that intimacy with God on a one-to-one is so much more important, so important. And it makes such a difference when we come together in that place of having spent time together. And you know that, you know what it feels like when you have spent time with the Lord and then you come together. It's a whole different feeling. It's a whole different, the presence of God that is around us is so different. Do you love him with your time, with your finances, with your timekeeping, by honoring those around you, by showing love to those who have hurt you? Do you take time to be aware of him around you? Do you ever just stop and just sit and just say, God, I'm just going to focus my love on you for the next 5 minutes, take a break, and I'm going to focus my whole attention on you, and I just want to be loved by you. I just want to feel your presence. I want to know your love right now. Take time with Jesus. What changes do you need to make to be more aware of him? How can you take breaks in the day? Just those little 2 minute, 5 minute breaks to spend that time with the Lord. Are you aware that you're powerful? Are you aware that the armor that you carry pulls down strongholds? Are you aware that that you have an offensive permission, that you have permission to be offensive against the enemy because you're equipped, you're powerful to the bringing down of strongholds? Do you know that you are to die for? That you are to die for? That your life is so precious, that you're so beautiful to the Lord, that he died for you, just for you, that you are to die for? You know that you're an atmosphere shifter, that wherever you live, whatever sphere you move in, whoever you influence, that you shift the atmosphere because of what you carry, that you are so powerful. The Bible says that the fullness of the Godhead lives within us. The fullness of the Godhead lives within us. Oh my gosh, if we could just catch the revelation of that, what could we do? What could we do? We're called to heal the sick. We're called to raise the dead. We're called to cleanse those who have leprosy. And we're called to drive out demons. Heal, raise, cleanse, drive out. That's all offensive behavior. It's not defensive. Protect me, Lord. Help me, Jesus. No, I'm too scared of being rejected. No, it is get out there. Heal the sick. Raise the dead. Cleanse those who have skin diseases. Drive out the demons. It is offensive. Like Mary was saying earlier, it is a battle. It is a war, and we're called to it. We're called to it. We're equipped for it. We have the Godhead living in us. Do you know that you are loved? You're so loved. You're so precious. Loved. 2 Corinthians 3:18. But we all with unveiled face, unveiled, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory. There is no veiling anymore. There is no shame anymore. There's no hiding away anymore. You are being transformed into the same image as Jesus Christ. And every day, every moment that you set your face toward him, you're being transformed from glory to glory. Why? Because there's more and more and more of him in you and upon you. Isn't that exciting? Like so much more of Christ in you and upon you. 1 Corinthians 15:51, we will not all sleep, but we will be changed. We will be changed. There is a day coming, guys, when the King of Glory is going to ride around this earth on a white horse, and the angel armies of heaven, the worshipers, the angel armies, those angelic beings are going to come with him, and they are circling the earth, and they're going to come, and every eye will see him. Every eye will behold him. And at that moment, we will be raised up with him, and we will be transformed like Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration. We will be transfigured to come with him round the earth, to settle with him, to rule and reign. My gosh. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. Hallelujah. I don't want to be the one that I was. I don't even like who I was before. I wasn't nice, you know. But now, Andy's laughing. I wasn't a nice person before Jesus. And God has me on a journey. I am a new creation, and I'm being made new. I am new, and I'm being made new. So are you. You're a new creation. This is who we serve. This is who we serve. He is not a little gentle lamb. The lamb was slain for the world, for the salvation of the world, but he is enthroned on high as the roaring lion of Judah, Jesus Christ, Yeshua. He is our Lord and our Savior. And this is who lives inside of me. This is who lives inside of you. This is what roars inside of you, longing to get out. He says, if you just let me out, I can roar. If you just let me out, I can transform things and do things with your life. You are called to bring heaven to earth, heaven to earth. Isaiah 61, the Spirit of the Lord is upon you. The Spirit of the Lord is upon you. And he has anointed you to preach good news, to set the captives free, to open the eyes of the blind, to heal the sick, to raise the dead, to heal skin diseases, to drive out demons. It is a season for new wine. It is a season for new wine. What is the wine that God is pouring into you? Every wine bottle is unique. What is the wine that is being formed in you? What is he asking you to do with it? Where is he asking you to pour it out? In this transitional period, in this period of shifting, what is it that he's forming within you? What has he formed within you? And where is it going to be poured out? Where is it going to be poured out? Where is he calling you to pour out the wine that he is forming within you? The Father, we just thank you. We thank you, Lord, that you are forming change within us. We thank you, Father, that we have been in transition and we are transitioning. Lord, we thank you for the wine that is being formed within us, that is bubbling, fermenting, maturing within us. God, where do you want us to pour it out? Where do you want us to release it, Father? So that transformation happens, so that reformation happens. We ask you, Lord, that this wine that is within us, God, will be life-changing for others. We thank you, Father, that we are atmosphere shifters because of the wine of your Spirit. We thank you, Lord, that we're joy bringers, we're hope bringers, we are healers, we are restorers, we are defenders, we are protectors, we are guardians, we are mothers, we are fathers, we are sons, we are daughters. We're midwives and nurses. We're cooks and chefs and healers. So Lord, let the wine that you're forming in us come to maturity, God, and let it be poured out in the way that you choose for it to be poured out. Lord, let us be willing vessels to be poured out for you this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. So we just thank you for this morning, for coming along. And if you're watching online, you can, it'll be available on YouTube if you'd like to share that, or on Facebook Live. So we just thank you for being with us this morning. If you need to contact us, you can contact us on fathershouse.co.uk. Email us there and we'll get back to you as soon as possible. If you don't know Jesus this morning, then we invite you to give your life to him. If you don't know for sure that you're going to be gathered up with him, that you're going to have eternity with him, then we just say to you this morning, just give your life to him this morning. Say, Jesus, I surrender to you. I want to have that new wine in me. I want to be that new creation. And I just give my life to you this morning, God. If that's you, I just want to pray over you. Father, I just bless these ones that are surrendering to you right now. Lord, as they give their lives to you, Father, we thank you that right now they're becoming new creations. And we just declare over you and impart to you the power of the Holy Spirit upon you right now to fill you, to flood you, to transform you, that you would be a wineskin that is full of power to heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out devils, and cleanse skin diseases. We just speak just life over you, blessing over you, and we welcome you to the family. Let us know if that's you this morning. We'd love to hear from you. In Jesus' name, have a great day. Amen.
And if you've got any testimonies, that you'd like, just send them to us via email, because we love to hear from you guys. And so many of you are with us this morning, but many of you will be online. But we're always keen to hear how the Lord has impacted you and changed your life forever. And so send us your stories, send us your testimonies, and let's do kingdom together. But remember, the day has shifted, it's changed, and tomorrow we start walking out into a new day before the King. Amen. Amen. We love you guys, and we look forward to the next time.